Hey everybody, welcome back. This is module 5 of developing universal apps for Windows using Cortana and the Speech SDK. If you have made it this far, let me just say I'm impressed because we have had 3 very in-depth technical modules, an introduction and then 3 technical modules. Here we are at module 5 and it's going to lighten up just a little bit. So that's good news. We're going to be talking about design guidelines. Out of the weeds, higher level view, you've got all the tools, all the strategies that you need for creating the speech enablement for getting people into your app and then talking to them and hearing from them both in your app. And that's great, you've got all the tools, but now let's look at some general guidelines because this is not a scenario that you want to just kind of shove in willy-nilly, not kind of halfway complete, anything like that. You want it to be solid and good. So let's go ahead and get started there. You can see here where we're at in the day. We've got this, and then we've got an advanced speech topics. This will not be for the light of heart. Let me just tell you,
Heart. There's more advanced stuff. There's a couple things also that absolute beginners will be able to use as well. So we kind of mix and match in module 6. So.
Yeah. You'll be thankful to have the rewind button, the pause button, and the slow it down button for module 6, but it's going to be good that content will be there for you so you can always refer back to it.
Right, so we're not done with the code. This module is more about design guidelines, but
Module 6 is where the monkey comes out.
Yes, the monkey's coming. Yes.
Right, okay. All right, here's a module overview. We are going to be looking at speech design considerations. This is kind of a big portion of this module. But then we're going to look at a special section on interpreting the user's intent. So kind of trying to apply some fuzzy logic and figure out what it was that they actually meant to do regardless of what they said. Don't trust the user. We want to talk about how to handle failures and what's unique in the area of speech. How to test your app, and again, what's unique in the area of speech. And then what I'm going to do to help you to figure out some good design guidelines, I'm going to show you some really good scenarios, some apps that I already have on my device, and walk you through some scenarios that are really cool that I think will just kind of, you know, light it all up. So let's go ahead and get started. Speech design considerations. There's quite a bit in here. And what I've done is I've gone reflexive back to module 1 where I told you that speech is personal, experiential, critical, and fun. And I'm going to hit on each of those and give you some tips and guidelines for how to make your app fulfill these characteristics of good speech. All right? So let's first look at keeping it personal. All right? So speech is personal. How do you keep your app personal? First of all, there is a certain amount of information that inevitably you're going to know about your user. Likely, if you have some sort of a business content or lifestyle app, as you called it, you're going to log them in and you're going to know some general information about them. We'll use that while you're talking to them. Just like you show their username on their screen. Do you remember when that kind of got popular, like to say, hello, Jim?
Welcome, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All of a sudden, it makes it feel more personal. Like this application knows who I am. And when it says, hello, Jim, even on the screen, I know that I'm logged in as the right person. I'm in the right place. And when it says it to you, that makes it all the more personal.
Yeah, nobody likes to be called, hey, you.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's not fun.
Yeah, logged in. User 743.
Exactly.
Use what you know about your user and actually learn and adapt to your user. You can use the information in their profile. Again, respecting all the privacy policies, doing everything the way that you should, but there are really good scenarios where you can use the information that you know about the user to say things or choose not to say things that you should or shouldn't. Be consistent with your language. There's a concept in grammar that maybe you remember from school called parallelism, where you don't want to have a bulleted list where things are in different voices, that they don't match each other. Think about that when you're thinking about the different expressions that your app is relaying to the user, that you want those expressions to be coming off in parallel. You want them to sound one like another so that the user isn't confused and disoriented as they move around. And certainly, have a good understanding of your audience and use appropriate jargon. Like, don't just use generic language that's going to work for everybody everywhere. If you know that you are creating an app for the medical community and there are certain words that they're going to know and that are going to make them feel like home while they're at work, then use that jargon. Definitely use that jargon where you can. That's to your advantage. And I should, again, I should have bolded and put this in red. Your app should never speak unless spoken to. So don't ever make the user feel like violated their privacy by all of a sudden saying something out loud while they're in a meeting or while they're talking to somebody. I mean, that's quite important. Okay, moving on, keeping it experiential. How do you make this not just feel like any old app experience, but to make it feel like a deep and high quality, high value experience?
You know, I went my whole life without ever using the word experiential. And now I've been using it so much in the last 2 days.
There you go. Take full advantage of user studies and user testing. We're going to talk just a little bit more about user testing, but it's really, really important to have real quality user studies and user testing for your app. And this is kind of before and after. User studies beforehand, figure out what it is that your users are going to want. What is it that they're going to want to say to your app? And then after you've implemented it, go back and say, try this.
Right.
And don't give them any bias or anything like that. Just say, try this and see how it works for them.
Yeah, your app should not come with a user manual.
Yeah.
Any app is about like downloading it, launching it, and whatever is there is there. See how they respond to it.
Yeah.
See if they even understand they can talk to it.
Yeah.
Don't tell the user like, hey, by the way, this is an app that uses speech recognition.
Yeah.
Chances are the user is just going to download the app, play with it, and they don't even know that speech is supported. See if they discover it.
Yep.
Discoverability is a big factor.
Yep, that's very true. Change up the language and alternate with like some random responses. You know, you can tell that sometimes when you ask Cortana something, sometimes she answers just a little bit different. Let's go ahead and do a little example here. I know of one response that she has.
High risk demo.
Yeah, high risk demo here. Guess what?
There are 2,335,981,212,665 possible answers to that question.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's very precise.
Yeah, that's I mean, it's impressive that she knows what that exact number is.
Well, you can ask her, guess what, again, and she might have a different answer.
Let's try it. Guess what?
There are
same one. Let's try it again. Guess what? Well, that was a terrible example because she just used the same exact response three times in a row. I feel lucky, actually. I feel lucky that I was able to get that three times in a row. I challenge you to turn on Cortana and ask her, guess what, a few times. I think you'll be surprised.
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Amused.
But still pay attention to discourse, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't do it now.
Yeah.
So do provide users with UI to initiate the recognition, and it's recommended that you use the microphone icon. Now, this is a general recommendation, but I really like what Nick said, where he said, consider, you know, your app and make it fit in with the usage in your app. If you just have a really vanilla app, it's a good idea to use this microphone icon because it's going to be immediately recognized. And probably when you use that, you're also going to use the default UI for the recognition itself. But by all means, if you're creating something like an audiobook and it works better to look like a book and turn the pages and not jump in with the kind of the default UI, then by all means do that.
And using the microphone icon is actually quite easy now because in the app bar support, it used to be that you had to go fetch all these files in a Visual Studio folder to import them. Now you can just say app bar, you say icon equals microphone, and a microphone is a resource, it's already there.
Yeah, so well, we had that like a long time ago in JavaScript. So.
Oh, well, okay, here we go with a JavaScript. C#!
Let users know what they can say by providing them with examples. That's really important. Examples don't make me try to figure something out. If you tell me this like verb structure or grammar structure or a breakdown of things, I'm going to have to think. And I don't want to think. I'm just an app user, right? I just want it to be easy.
Yeah.
And so if you show me an example like, hey, you can say find the cheese, then I'll know that I can say find the cheese. And I'll probably deduce that I can say things like that. So
And cheese is good.
And cheese is good, yeah. Yes. And if you can come up with an app that actually provides cheese, then hey.
That would be great.
You're rich. Request confirmation when the confidence is low or when the impact is high. So if you're asking them about like, are you sure you would like to, you know, launch the weapons?
Or format the hard drive?
Format the hard drive. Make sure that you have confirmed that with them because the impact is high. Or if the confidence is really low, like you're really not sure what they said, the probability is kind of low, then you probably want to get a confirmation on that as well. So those all contribute to the user having a good experience end to end, and of course that's extremely important. Now, For you non-native English speakers, let me just preface this with, keep it critical doesn't make any sense at all. But I had a pattern here, and I'm trying to keep my patterns. Speech is critical, keep it critical, okay? Just go with me. Warn or even disallow, where appropriate, the user from interacting with your app if they shouldn't be. Now, if you know that the user shouldn't be interacting with your app, feel free to give them a warning that says, it looks like you're driving or something. Can you validate that you're the passenger? You don't want to completely turn off that scenario, but can you validate that you're the passenger and so you're going to be okay using this app right now?
It's tricky because sometimes you want to do the right thing.
And, no, always.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, for example, that's an example I talk about all the time in my car. My GPS system completely disallows me from entering info if I'm driving, if the car is moving. Whereas in my wife's car, she can actually enter everything. And the point is that, yeah, you're not supposed to play with a GPS, but sometimes my car is our family car. So when we go on a road trip or anything, she's sitting right next to me. So she can enter the stuff in the GPS. So it's really annoying that I always
have... She should be able to.
Well, she should be able to. It's good enough.
Yeah.
She's smart. So the idea is that you don't want to forget about some key scenarios, but it's a delicate balance because now if you're allowing them to do it when they're driving, so... And what if you say like, oh, well, your GPS is moving fast, so we're going to disallow you from interacting with the app. You have to use speech only. Well... I'm on the bus right now. I'm not the one driving, you know? So please let me, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of tricky.
It's really difficult. Yeah. You just have to do what you can. And, you know, if you put a prompt in there that even says, are you the passenger, and make the user say yes, then, you know, at least you've kind of put it on their shoulders. They've got to lie in order to use their app while they're driving.
Exactly, yeah. It's on their conscience.
Yeah, that's right. Consider providing some sort of a spoken guide, because it might be that they need their whole experience to be eyes-free and hands-free. And then they don't know where to start. So maybe give them a keyword that you give them an example of where they can just say, give me some help. What can I say? Well, you know, whatever. And then give them a little rundown of the things that they can do interacting with speech only.
Yeah, this is one of the rare occurrences where I'm going to say, don't do what Cortana does. Because Cortana, if you say, what can I say? She just goes like, here's a list of what I can do.
Yeah.
And she shows you a list.
Yeah, right.
But of course, in all fairness to Cortana, she can do a lot.
Yeah.
So you have to dig around and everything. Whereas in your app, if you only support like a few voice commands, a few speech input, and you have like phrase lists or something that really narrow down what they can say, then if the user says, what can I say, you should be able to, at least if it's only five options, you should be able to present them with that list and speak it out loud to them so they can understand, oh, okay, that's what I can say.
I've heard it said that good and effective apps have fewer than four core scenarios
right.
to them. Now, obviously, Cortana has got a lot.
Exactly. It's very Cortana is one of the most complicated applications you'll ever encounter.
Implement as many languages as you can, because that is about making it possible for people to even interact with it. I mean, if you do not support a language, even though the platform supports it, then you've disallowed a certain number of people from even using your app. So you can enable that.
But definitely test with some users of that culture in that language. You could even help them out. You can use something like, for example, the multilingual app toolkit that we have.
That's right.
It's a great toolkit that allows you to quickly translate your app. So that could also mean translating your programmatic lists, translating your commands. And then once you've translated it, don't ship it just yet, then pass that list along to someone who can see the English, for example, English and the translated version in French.
Yeah.
And then have them just double check to make sure, well, okay, you're 90% of the way there. Let me fix it a bit for you and then tweak the experience.
And this toolkit that he's mentioning, the multilingual app toolkit, is really amazing. It hooks into two services that Microsoft has that are extreme, at least two services. It's extensible.
Yep.
But at least two services that are extremely knowledgeable of really good, solid translations because they are used in every product that Microsoft makes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, products that we've, you know, that are out there, like Office, maybe, where maybe the word click has been translated to French a few times, you know, and a few French speakers have already looked at it and said, yeah, this is a good translation. Yeah, you can jump on that, use the multilingual app toolkit, and maybe a lot of the work of translating is already done for you. I've seen some of the machine translations where you just kind of right-click add French, and then you go look through it. I mean, obviously, you want to have a native speaker look through it, but it looks great because it pulled this from work that's already been done.
So. Well, we're going to get to see it in action in the next module.
There you go.
Because in the next module, okay, surprise, surprise, but not spoiler alert, but I have a demo where I'm going to pair up translation with speech recognition and speech synthesis, where we're going to see the quality of the recognition.
Yeah. Ask yourself when speech will be more productive than touch, usually the primary input mode on a mobile device. When is speech going to be more productive? And consider allowing both. There's a good chance that you want to allow both, but sometimes no. Sometimes speech is the only way, and sometimes touch is the only way. Just, again, user testing is going to help you to know which way to go there. Do act now whenever you're confident about what the user wants so that there doesn't have to be another prompt and another confirmation or whatever, but also kind of follow the principle that the user needs to feel like he's in control. So it's a balance to strike, but do act whenever you are confident that you know what the user wants, but keep them in control. And then along the lines of keeping it fun, use language and style that's appropriate for your user. I talked about using jargon and industry slang that fits with who's using your app, but on a little bit more of the fun topic, use language and style that, be colloquial if you can, and be really casual and use fun language that's going to make people feel like this is more of a person, more of a persona than just a machine that I'm talking to. If everything's generic, then your app is nothing. There's nothing in your app to differentiate it from any others and give it any personality. Feel free to add some humor in there, to add some levity. Make it funny. Some high quality humor, not low quality stuff. Like really funny, really good stuff.
Clever.
Yeah.
Clever humor.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that apps would be better off adding hidden functionality that's not released first party. Like you don't tell anybody that it's there, it gets discovered. Maybe if it doesn't get discovered, you release it, let it go viral. But you have this opportunity to program something that's kind of hidden and folks don't know exactly what's underneath it. So you can put some Easter eggs in there and have some fun with it.
Like asking Cortana, guess what?
There are 2 trillion.
Okay, she's kind of stuck on that one for now.
Yeah,
okay.
She's stuck on that one.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
Don't forget speech for games. What do you think about that, Nick?
I want speech in games, seriously. And I told you guys, this is a challenge for you out there watching this video. If you build a cool game that I can play completely hands-free, I don't have to look at the screen, I don't have to touch the screen, I can safely play it when driving. The moment you publish that game to the store, please ping me on Twitter, @ActiveNick, and I will try it, I will review it, I will give you feedback, and if I like it, you can bet I will promote that game a lot.
There you go.
I want games when I'm driving, folks. Just come on, bring it.
Straight from the Nick's mouth. Performance considerations. We are dealing with speech. The platform, for the most part, takes care of all the performance considerations, but there are some things that you can do to make sure that the user's experience is good because the performance is good. Use constraints and grammar. Nick told you all about how to do that. The performance differences between using constraints and grammar and not are dramatic.
Well, you're basically saving yourself a round trip to the web. That's the key, because the using constraints and grammars like programmatic lists and SRGS grammars, everything is done locally on the phone. Otherwise, they have to record everything, send it over to wireless in that case. It also depends on the quality of your connection. If the connection is slow, then chances are maybe it could take longer to get the recognition. So it's going to be a much faster experience if they can actually do this entirely with grammars.
Yeah. Keep your grammars small and use a lot of small grammars for specific scenarios versus one big grammar for your entire app. So when he was showing you that he had a grammar for yes, no, and a grammar for colors,
right. He
could have put those into the same grammar and referenced both of those. But it's a better idea to have one for yes, no, and one for colors. That's going to give you better performance and granularity.
You can also use sub-grammars. Like, for example, let's say that you really have an app that has, like, a lot of complicated scenarios. Then what you can also do is maybe you could give an indication of what you want to do, and then automatically it would load the proper grammar for you.
Yeah.
So instead of trying to recognize everything, imagine it's like a menu.
Okay, so it's like, would you like to do this by color or by animal? By animal.
Right, exactly.
And so then you load the animal grammar, and that's the way you respond.
Exactly. Or what would you like to do? I would like to read a book, or I would like to listen to music. So this way you don't load the entire book list and the entire music list.
Yeah.
You just load the one list and then you can start playing.
Prepare your users for what they can say, what they should say, because then you're going to get them saying the words that, if you're going to relay that intent, then you're going to get them saying the words that you're going to be expecting. Do allow for variations and extra words. Like Nick was showing you, there are ways to make words like the optional.
Yep.
And there, this is a really important one in my opinion, because for some reason, and I can't tell you exactly why, when I talk to Cortana, I don't want to memorize the way I'm supposed to say it
right.
and then say it just like that. I like saying it casually. Especially like when I'm hanging out with my family, we're on a road trip, we're in the car, and I want to ask Cortana to play a music. Sometimes I say it in an interesting way just because it makes it feel like this is a person that I'm talking to and she's doing me a favor by starting my favorite song, you know? Try to avoid single syllable phrases. Those can be difficult for it to pick up on. So if there's an equivalent that is multiple syllables, that would be better. Now, when you are considering how your users launch into your app via Cortana, there's one consideration I want you to know, and that is that if you do nothing at all, your users will still be able to launch your app by way of Cortana. That's a core feature of Cortana. If your app is called Widget and you say execute widget or start widget
start
or launch widget,
yep.
it's going to open that application, even if you've done no voice commanding whatsoever. Now, if you want Cortana to be able to open your app in interesting ways, like widget, find widgets, or something like that,
yep.
then you need to get into, go back and look at module 3 that I showed and how to define your voice command and how to handle your voice command. So, all right, now the next topic is interpreting the user's intent. This is a bit of a fuzzy topic.
That's not easy.
That's not, yeah. Your users are trying to get something done. The app is hearing it one way, translating what it is that you think they're trying to do. And if you could, every single time, exactly match what it is that the user wanted to do, they are going to be thrilled with your app. I haven't seen a system yet, no matter how smart, that's able to do it right every single time. But the more you can do it, the better off your app is.
Well, just look at the human-to-human interactions. We still misunderstand each other sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Asking a machine to get it right, it's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
But you know what? You can do a best effort.
Add multiple listen fors. Remember the MSDN example I showed you? You could say either search or find, and they both did the exact same thing. So multiple listen fors will be helpful. Designate optional keywords. Now, this works in the voice command definition file. You can put square braces around anything that you want, and those will be optional words. So if you want to put in there the ums and the ahs and the please and the whatever, all those qualifiers that really don't speak at all to what the command is that the user's trying to do, then sprinkle those in there and make it all the more accurate.
Don't be surprised if users are very polite as well. Like if they say, for example, search for this, or a user might go, could you please search for this?
Or can you help me find?
Or can you search for this, please? So then the can you and the please at the end, you know, becomes optional.
Yeah.
And you would think, like, but why would someone do this? You know what? If the personality of your app works right, you might be surprised. People might treat it with respect.
Yep. Do find a way to use a catch-all command. Remember that your command set has multiple commands. And I think that on the bottom of the list, one of your commands should catch everything.
Yep.
So that you can at least bring them into your app still. Try to figure out what it is that they were saying, or just have a generic function, or even just land in your app. You know, I mean, if they got it all wrong and they just said gibberish, may as well welcome them in anyway and land inside your app.
And you can show them even.
Yeah, and I'm going to show that next.
You can show them and say, like, listen, this is what I got from you.
Oh, yeah. Here's the gibberish.
So what do you expect me to do with this, you know?
Yeah. So, and actually, I'm going to talk on that right now. We're going to talk about using, and this is, you can get PhDs in the subject of natural language processing.
Right.
But you can use natural language processing techniques to figure out exactly what it is that the user intended to do. So let's look at this handling function. If you think back to the last module that I did, is the MSDN app. They may have said, find whatever method I'm looking for. And so I may have known for sure that I'm supposed to be finding something. But if it didn't get translated that way, then it got handled by the second command, which is this natural language processing. And all it did was pass it into this function, this handle NLP function. And this handle NLP function is responsible now for taking just a raw phrase, whatever it is that they said, and turning it into some kind of meaning. Okay? So let's break this down and see how we should do this. I want you to notice before I start breaking these blocks apart that we essentially have one block, two blocks, and three blocks, okay? We've got the first, the second, and the third. So we're gonna start with the first one, and we're gonna look at ladder logic. Ladder logic means that you do the most strict parsing things first. Mm-hmm. So if you can find in there that the user said, go to something, then you know that your task is going to be to navigate somewhere, right? So that's very exact, very precise, very strict for us as the developer. So let's do that one first.
Right.
So in this case, if they said go to or find or search or show me, then we're going to say, all right, the action is navigate. And we are going to navigate to this website. All right. So next, else if. The recommendation text, I should have told you this reco text variable that you're seeing here, this represents exactly what they said while we're in here, okay?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So the reco text, if it contains the word learn how to, then we know something about what the user's trying to do. So what we're going to do is we're going to use a little index of, excuse me, we're going to use a little index of to find the location of that learn how to. And obviously, the stuff after it is what they want to learn how to do, right? So we're going to grab that stuff after it, and we're going to search for it. And we're going to handle it just as if they had said find whatever, all right? Next, I said next, we're going to have the most ambiguous. Okay, we really don't know what you meant here.
Yeah.
So we're going to welcome you into the app. The action is find. And we're just going to go ahead and search for what it is that you looked for. So even if it's complete gibberish, you can type it into MSDN online. You can type it into this app, you know?
Right.
So we're going to go ahead and do a generic search for it. Now, remember that once the user is in your app, this is an opportunity for you to continue the conversation. So just like you said, you can show them on the screen what it was that they said. And then you can use the speech recognition strategies that Nick was telling you in Module 4.
Yep, four.
In Module 4, how to recognize now what they say while they're in your app and try to clarify what it is that they want to do and get them to that place.
Yeah, it's important because I've noticed that sometimes people will use voice commands because that's one of the things that we've kind of like advertised a lot as part of Cortana. And voice commands will cover a lot of really advanced scenarios on how to launch the app and do something. But then what you find is some users, they try one thing, and then they like it so much, or they find it useful, they want to do another command in there. And then what do? They basically press the search button again to use voice commands again. So it's kind of counterintuitive because you're kind of forcing the user to get out of the app so they can come back in and do a search.
And if only you got a nickel for every time they launched your app, then that would be a good strategy.
Yeah, but it takes a lot of launches to get a nickel. So the bottom line is, it might be a little redundant sometimes, but try to pair up a good voice command strategy with an in-app speech recognition strategy so that maybe you can try to take as much input from the voice commands to then process most of it inside of the app so that once they're inside of the app, you can maybe ask them, would you like to search for something else?
Yeah.
And if they say yes, again, you can go yes, no. And then, oh, okay, what would you like to search for? And then they can provide their input, and then you feed them back into the same recognition engine that was used for the voice commands coming in. And therefore, you don't have to send the users back out of the app every time they want to use your feature.
Yeah. Okay, let's look now at handling failures. Mostly the same as a lot of apps, but there are a few differences when you're dealing with the world of speech. When your app doesn't recognize anything, inform the user and give them a chance to try again. Because there's a good chance that, once again, they don't have their hands to work with. They don't want to jump out of the speech experience just because they goofed up or they didn't know what to say. So give them a chance to try again. I've said this a couple times, do provide examples of expected phrases so that you're leading them down the right path. After a number of multiple failures, offer another input option. Maybe speech isn't working. Maybe it's not appropriate in this scenario. And so maybe give them the chance to stay in the speech experience, but also give them a chance to kind of fall back to the touch experience. If you can always allow the multiple input options and it makes sense for your app and it's intuitive, then that's great. And try to make corrections, but prompt the user to speak up if they're really quiet. So if you've got at least some confidence, like Nick was saying, if you've got at least medium confidence, maybe you can go ahead and act on it and just maybe express your uncertainty with what they said. But if you can use those error cases and tell that the user's not talking real loudly, and right. So it was a medium result, maybe you can say, I think you said chicken, but you're not talking very loud, so maybe you could speak up a little bit.
Yeah, and that degrading quality also can also help you with this.
Absolutely. The subject of testing is next. And once again, just like handling fail cases, errors, the subject of testing is mostly the same across software development, but in this case, there are a few differences with speech. Mostly, it's just that certain things in the area of testing are far more important with speech. You do need to make sure that you test on real users in real scenarios and try to avoid bias and assist. Like, try to avoid leading them down any paths when you're just testing it. Try to figure out what they would have done. Just like I say, record what it is that people want to say to their app, not what they learn that you're going to let them say.
Right.
Test enough to determine what the most common phrases are. So you saw that Nick was providing a number of words that meant the same thing. And you can add some heuristics in your app because you know what it is that was detected, that what they said. And so you can determine what the patterns are. How often are people saying this versus this versus this? And remember I was telling you that if your grammars are smaller, then they're more performant? Well, if you've got 17 things in your grammar and you find out that 14 of the things nobody ever says, you could remove those and improve the performance of your app.
That's another thing, is even after the app goes live, you can still gather data, of course, with the user's permission.
Sure.
So you can say, like, especially in speech, it's really important that you be able to tell the user, like, to help improve the quality of this app, would you mind, you know, would you agree to us grabbing what you say to the app and then sending it anonymously to our server so we can just analyze the strings of what you're saying? Maybe there's combinations that people are saying that we just never thought of.
Yeah.
So, but again, do not stealth do this. It's always something that you should do, following privacy rules, asking the user's permission, allowing them to opt out, even if they've agreed before, and always do what you say you will do.
Yeah. And then make sure that you test in all of the languages that you're supporting. So if you've got an alternate language, don't neglect that language in your testing cycle. That's important. All right, let's look at some examples. First of all, I want to show you guys some examples of some apps that have a good launch experience, okay? So these app developers have done a good job of making it easy for me to get into the app by way of a statement. And I've got them all listed for you on the slide, but we're going to whip through them as well. And I'm going to go ahead and go to the Cortana experience and show you my screen. And I'm going to say, Uber, get me a taxi. Now, one phrase that I've uttered, this app is starting, and it automatically knows that wherever I'm at right now, I want a taxi. And so it's going to go ahead and find me one. And bam. And it had some sort of an error there, probably having to do with the fact that I don't have good cell coverage inside the studio. But anyway, this app has taken me from zero, I just turned the phone on, I haven't even unlocked it, to let's show you a screen where you're ready to set a pickup location and go. Right. That's awesome. How about Audible, play.
Play.
There we go. My audiobook's playing.
Playing the Four Loves.
And
classics today. He was the novelist and children's writer.
There we go.
New worlds to test old truths. And he was the Christian.
And I'm going to need to.
Yeah, you have to.
There
pause.
We go.
Background audio.
Background audio. Yeah, we just talked about it.
Exactly.
Now it's a reality. Let's try this. Twitter, new tweet, talking to developers on Microsoft Virtual Academy about Cortana. Talking to developers on Microsoft Virtual Academy about Cortana. Now, I could have put some hashtags in there, by the way. I just happened not to. But let me go ahead and send a tweet on that. If you guys want to go ahead and head over to twitter.com/CodeFoster and retweet that, we'll just see how many of you are tuning into this.
And you can follow Jeremy at the same time.
Yeah, there you go. Now, this one's fun. I have a home automation system, and I can do this. I can say, Insteon, set the temperature to 72 degrees.
Insteon, setting the temperature.
There we go. And wow. So now my home is now okay. Set to 72
setting
degrees.
The temperature to 72 Fahrenheit.
There we go. And she knows that I prefer Fahrenheit because of where I live. Now, let me just say.
72 Celsius would be pretty bad.
Yeah, that would be pretty bad. I did set the temperature just now to what it was already so that I don't weird my wife out. Because she's at home right now. That'd be pretty strange.
You're going to really mess with people.
Yeah, that's right. Let's try this one. Wikipedia random article.
Display an article.
Yeah, talk about a risky demo.
Yeah, talk about a risky demo. Let's try this. Oh, I'm not showing it on the screen. There we go.
Let's look at the screen.
There we go.
Muhammad Faisal Lonkarani Hirat J. Faisal Hussein Fadhel Muhammad Fadhel Al-Jamali Fazal.
Yeah, she's doing an amazing job pronouncing those names. But what just happened was Wikipedia pulled up a random article and then started reading it. So this was using speech synthesis, right?
Yes. Yes. Microsoft Zira Mobile.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's try this again using a little bit of a more natural phrase. Here goes. Wikipedia, show me a random article. I would probably actually say it that way. And actually, it didn't catch it. Wikipedia, show me a random article. Oh, that's right. That's exactly what I expected. That's
exactly.
What I'm trying to show. It doesn't recognize that more fuzzy logic. So this show me a is not optional.
Exactly.
It wasn't expecting it, and it threw it, and it doesn't know how to recognize this command. So that's the kind of scenario you're trying to capture.
Yep. We'll have to tell Rudy.
Check this one out. Remote desktop, connect to Azure VM.
Connecting using remote desktop.
Pretty impressive.
Oh, that is cool.
Okay, so my remote desktop has started, and you know, if I remember to start that, yeah, there we go. I've got that VM on in the cloud. Look at that. There's my taskbar.
This is awesome.
And that was initiated with a voice command. With one voice command,
And normally you would have to like launch the application, find which VM you want, and then say that you want to connect to it, and wait. Now it's all done automatically for you.
Yeah.
That's the power of
voice
commands.
Pretty impressive. I love that one. I love the way that one shows. Let's try this one. Skype, get Nick Landry on video.
Starting Skype.
Actually, let's not go through that one, just in the interest of time. But you can see that the Skype experience is starting. Yeah, she says, all right, we'll kick out of that one. But you can see that the Skype experience is starting, and instantly I'm going to have Nick on a video call, and that's just going to be one expression away from exactly what it is that you're trying to do. That's the whole goal. Now let's look at some apps that have a good in-app speech experience. So not just launching into the app, but actually inside of the app. So let's first of all go to the messaging app. And I will bring up my UI here. And you can see that when I'm recording a message in my chat app, I'm able to hit this familiar...
Sorry, that command is not supported while in a call.
I'm still in a call. Let me go ahead and kill that.
Yeah, it did connect the video over Skype here. That's why.
Okay, we'll kill that. There we go.
All right, we killed it.
Well, that makes sense that I wouldn't be able to do that during a call. Okay, so here I am in the chat, in the messaging experience, in the text messaging experience, and I can say, hey, Nick, what are you doing right now? Notice that default recognition experience popped up on the top of the screen, and it's gone ahead and translated what I've said and dropped it into that. So that's a good in-app recording experience. I won't show you email, but you've got the same thing with email, pretty much the ability to dictate an email. I talked to you about Audible. Let's just go ahead and start that using Cortana. Start Audible.
Sure. Opening Audible. Audiobooks.
Now, Audible gives me the opportunity to use this button-free mode. They say button-free, and they mean, you know, you can swipe, and then they also handle voice. And so you can see that I can hit speech, and now I can say things like Audible play, Audible pause. I can go forward and backward, next chapter, previous chapter, and I can completely control it with my voice. Now, this makes total sense. Like, what if I want to read a audiobook while I'm on the treadmill or something, and it's just not helpful to, you know, try to use my app with touch. So it's good that they implemented that. The next one is called Talk to Me. Have you heard of this app?
I think I know the developer.
Yeah. Nick actually wrote this app. Can you tell us about Talk to Me?
Yeah, Talk to Me is it's kind of funny.
Talk to Me about Talk to Me.
Yeah, I'll talk to you about Talk to Me. It's basically a very simple app. I just fell in love with the Speech SDK when Windows Phone 8 came out, and I decided I need to write an app that just uses it. It was just supposed to be a fun app, and it's text-to-speech. The core of the app is three lines of code. But of course, I wrapped it up with like advertising and app purchasing, about box, feedback, and everything. But the core of the app is very simple. 60 plus thousand users later, a lot of people are using it.
It's not just a fun app anymore.
Exactly. It's amazing. I built this thing in a weekend. And if we can just switch to my screen right now, you can actually see. So this is Talk to Me in a store, so that's a shameless plug. But I mean, look at this, because I want to show you how it's impacted people's lives. Because first of all, this is what the app looks like. It basically, you just type any app, any text, you know, in here, you press play, and then it plays it out loud for you using the favorites. It remembers your favorites so that you can quickly pre-program some things. So people that want to repeat something without saying it over and over, typing it over and over, can quickly do this. And they can also change the voice, like Zira and everything. Of course, it only works with the voices that are installed on your phone. But here's where I was truly amazed. Let me switch over to the review. So first of all, over 600 ratings, 4.6 star average, so I think I'm doing okay. But listen to this. This first user says, I love this app. I recently had my vocal cords removed from cancer, and now with this app, I can have somewhat of a voice again. When I read reviews like this, I was floored because my little silly weekend app now became something that's, it's almost like a life-changing experience for someone. Yvonne here said, really helped in an emergency. I couldn't speak, text, or show the phone, but others could hear it. Got the help I needed.
Perfect.
My brother is on a ventilator, can't speak. This is great for him to be able to say what he wants. No more guessing with his lips. So I got like dozens and dozens of reviews like this. And it's a very simple app. As I said, text-to-speech, three lines of code, just wrapped it up with convenience. And it's just been so amazing.
Excellent. Excellent. Another app that we can look at that's in the store is called Translator. And I'm just going to search for this here. Translator is, I haven't used this one too much, but you have, is that right?
Yes, I have, actually.
So I go ahead and initiate with voice.
Yep.
And it's assuming that I want to go English to French. So should we try this?
Try it, yeah.
I would like some cheese, please. I would like some cheese, please. That looks perfect.
Je voudrais, s'il vous plaît, un peu de fromage.
Yeah, a little bit of cheese. A little bit.
Yeah.
That'll work.
It's okay.
The interesting thing that happened there, you saw that I had to do it twice, and that's because it recognized, they had a timeout at the silence at the end, and it timed out, and it automatically stopped, which is great. So I would be able to say...
But then you can speak it out loud. I don't know if the command was in there, but you can actually say it. It can actually speak it out loud afterwards.
Oh, there you go. Okay, let's give that a try. So I don't want cheese anymore.
You want some wine?
No, okay, I'll have some bread, please.
Okay.
Okay, and then I can just do this.
Oui, je vais avoir du pain, s'il vous plaît.
There you go. So I could play that for my waitress and...
So this app
hopefully
actually,
I got it right.
Yeah, so this app actually uses the Bing service online.
Okay.
So it will actually allow you to translate into more languages than what's available on your phone.
Okay.
So, for example, you probably don't have the French pack on your phone.
Okay.
But because it's actually using the service in a cloud, it basically creates the audio stream in a cloud, downloads and streams it to your phone.
Yeah.
So this one is 100% connected to the internet.
Excellent. The other app that I wanted to call out that just does a good job with speech recognition and synthesis is Assistant. And I'm not going to show that one right now, but this one came along before Cortana came along, and it really captures a lot of this. You know, like, what is it that you want me to do for you? You can say anything, and I can help you with anything scenarios.
Yeah, the personal assistant story. There's a bunch of them, like Ask Ziggy is one of them, Assistant is another. A lot of people have been building, since the Speech SDK came out of Windows Phone 8, a lot of people have been using the capabilities to create these personal assistants. Of course, they only work within the app, but you can still launch them with voice commands. And it's pretty interesting what people have done.
Yeah.
And you can still do it. Just because we have Cortana today doesn't mean that you shouldn't build your own assistant. Let let's say that you're really big into a certain sport, for example. You might want to have an assistant that just knows everything about that sport. So when you launch it, again, from Cortana via voice commands, then you can say, I want to talk about cricket or curling, you know. So all the Canadians out there, you know, let's create good curling.
Okay, let's take a look at what we've learned in this module. We looked at a number of speech design considerations to make sure that your app, like speech in general, is personal, experiential, critical, and...
Fun.
Fun.
It's got to be fun.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We also looked at how to use some fuzzy logic to interpret what it is that the user is actually trying to do. Handle failures, looked at testing, and we looked at a number of examples that really light this up and make for good user experiences. So that's it for design considerations. What are we going to look at in Module 6?
Module 6, we'll have a little more fun. We'll look at some things like using App Studio and get started. You can literally build an app in 5 minutes.
That supports speech.
That will support speech.
Very
yes.
cool.
We'll look at that, a real app.
Okay.
And then we'll look at how to create a translator, so the translator demo.
Okay.
We're going to see how we can create a similar translator, but with all the speech technologies directly from the phone.
All right.
And you're going to show
us
the monkey
a little
more. I'm going to show
a full stack demo. My demo is going to be JavaScript from start to finish. And it's going to be everything from telling Cortana what you want to seeing it happen in real life.
And we're going to see also how you can integrate your app with this.
With the band.
With the Microsoft band.
That's right.
And also how to deal with screen timeouts.
There you go.
So that if the app doesn't need to go in the background or you want to prevent it, we'll look at these things. So it's a bunch of some advanced scenarios, other useful, accessible scenarios. So we're going to go back into code to wrap this up nicely for today.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take a 10-minute break. We'll see you after.
Thanks.